Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the ATL Podcast. I am your host, Matt B. Davis, where we talk to the famous, Atlanta famous, infamous, and people I fancy in general. Welcome to the show. It's been a bit. Our last episode was, what was our last episode? Oh, Steve Kuhner from the Hawks. He was great. And before that, we had Carl Atkins, who helped bring the Super Bowl here in the Final Four. He's a great one. Lots of great episodes lately. Ooh, Bame Joyner. Go listen to that one. Bame Joyner, Atlanta Influences Everything. Bame is one of a kind. He was awesome. Go check that one out. Today, we've got Ben Whitty. Ben Whitty was recommended to me by Carl Atkins, who I mentioned a few minutes ago. Ben Whitty is from Proof of the Pudding. Proof of the Pudding, you've had their food, you've been to events where they serve it, I am sure of it. And also inside the stadium and all that other fun stuff. But in this episode, we talk so much more about things. Can I speak today? We talk about so many more things than just the business. He is one of a kind. I mean, I think I'm going to call this episode Ben Whitty is a bit of a nut job, because we went all over the place and it was a lot of fun, and I hope you enjoy it. And listen, I know there hasn't been as many episodes as we once did, but nobody likes the host that talks about promising more episodes, so I'm not going to do that. Just going to let you know to keep subscribing to this thing and keep listening to the new ones, and I hope you'll like them. I think you will. I think we got some fun stuff coming down the pike, and I really appreciate you. Do me a favor. Send me a note. Let me know how you heard about this show. I'm Matt B. Davis at iCloud. Tell a friend. That's the best thing you can do. And also following on the Instagram where I actually post there more than here, interestingly enough. So go to ATL Podcast on Instagram. It's the Atlanta Podcast. Ben Whitty. Away we go.
Tell you anything?
Who's Carl? I've never met this guy in my life. He's my favorite four-letter word, Carl.
Hey, talk to my buddy Matt.
Mm-hmm. Another four-letter word.
Is that what happened?
No, that's not at all what happened.
Okay, what happened?
Well, you know, Carl is an amazing individual, and you never ever want to go anywhere with him.
Okay.
Because he's weird. He's just weird. He has this obsession with back hair. He just talks about back hair all the time. Can I shave your back? Hey, dude, you got to get your back shaved. That's all he talks about.
That's really weird, dude.
Yeah, I know.
Did he tell you anything about this, though, about me talking to him?
Yeah, he had a great time, and last night we were just talking about him. He loved the experience.
You're lying. And I can't.
No, I'm not telling. He sits there and cries. He goes, "Oh, I should have done this. I should have done that. I was lousy." I said, "Dude, you were amazing.
Did it you
was
listen great. To it?
Oh, hell yeah, I listened to
no,
it.
No, you did not.
I did listen to it.
Okay, what do we talk about?
All right, we talked about his great NFL experience. We walked around the tour of his office with all the tickets. This guy has more stuff in his attic than anybody in the world.
Right.
What else we talk about? His experiences with music. He loves his love of music.
But you could have made this up if you never heard it. That didn't really happen.
It did really happen.
It didn't really happen.
All right.
People tell me all the time, I can't tell if you're kidding. Do people say that to you all the time?
Well, most of the time, yeah. Especially in my marriage.
Well, my wife and I had this rule early on. I said, honey, if you have to ask me, it means I'm kidding.
Right.
So here we are 14 years later, right? And she'll still do it. And I'll just look at her like, we already went over this.
Wow.
Like,
read the cue card.
Right?
Yeah.
So you grew up where? We'll back up a little bit before we get into...
Oh, I grew up in Chicago, Illinois.
Okay.
Born and raised there. Had the four kids there, and then we went from Chicago to Miami, and then Miami to here.
So, what did you want to be when you were a young person in Chicago?
Well, how young is young? How like four?
12.
12. At the age of 12, did you see the movie Sandlot?
I did. Classic. Oh.
Unbelievable. That was my life. Sandlot was my life because I had a baseball field right in behind my backyard. I had a mean neighbor with a mean dog right next to him. When the ball hit into their yard, you couldn't get the ball out. And then all of a sudden, at 13, I started working because, you know, my parents were in the restaurant business. My father was an entertainer. My mother was a waitress. So I got to work at the Ark restaurant at the age of 13. And that's when I started to fall in love with food and beverage.
Which character in the Sandlot do you most like resemble?
Oh, gosh. Probably looks-wise, the fat guy. and then as far as the saliva goes, the dog. I do have a saliva issue.
Right.
You've already noticed that. You've wiped your forehead twice already. So
so your dad was an entertainer?
He was an entertainer. His name was Ben Whitty, Ben Whitty Lake City. And he was an entertainer in Chicago. Piano bars. And here's a great story. So I met my wife on a Monday. All right. Met her on a Monday. Tuesday, asked her to get married.
No, you didn't.
This is a true story. Tuesday, asked her to get married. Wednesday, met her mother. Thursday, met her father for the first time. this 4 days and said, hey, Mr. Billings, I'd like to marry your daughter. And I'm like, wow. He's like, wow, that's interesting. Tell me, how are you going to support her? And I go, well, you know, sir, I'm going to the Culinary Institute of America, and I'm going to be an executive chef one day, and I'm going to make $9 an hour to support this girl. Because
that was a big deal back then.
That was a huge deal back then. And so he said yes, and 6 months later, we were married. And then 25 years later, we were divorced. But it was a great, great story when we were married. But it was a really awful ending. But it was an awful ending. It's still great. She's a wonderful person, wonderful mother, and we're still friends. But it just didn't end the way.
Did you mess it up? Is that what happened?
No, I didn't mess it up. It was a combined effort.
Usually the guy messes it up. My experience is the guy.
No, it was a combined effort. It took me 3 years to realize, you know what? I made some mistakes too.
Oh, okay. So it was all her fault until you decided to.
Yeah, lots of therapy.
Right?
Yeah.
Therapy's good.
Therapy is good.
I've done quite a bit of it myself.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Self-therapy, or do you actually talk to somebody?
No, I went to talk to somebody. I've done some self-help as well, but I've talked to a few people. Yeah, it's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
So you have kids and you have grandkids.
That's correct. And I just want to make a special announcement right now. I have 3 out of 4 single. And I'd like to take this opportunity. If you're listening out there, America, I have 2 girls and a guy, single, 36, 34, and 30, or something like that. If you're rich and breathing, please call. Now, this is Amy's phone number, 678.
Don't do that. Okay, don't do that. Now, wait a minute. Your grandchildren in their 30s?
No. My children are in their 30s.
And they're all divorced, too?
No. Two have never been married.
Right.
One just recently went through a divorce. And my fourth one, he's married, wonderful, with a set of twins.
Okay. Well, how do you have these grandchildren then? I'm very confused.
How do we have, what do you mean, how do they have them? They had sex and they had kids. I mean, come on. You have 3 kids yourself. You know how it all works.
Yes.
Honey, where the condom? And you're like, no, I can't find it. I've got to have children. Oh, yeah. It's a strategic plan. Yes. I got to have kids. Yeah, right. You walk down the hallway. There's a cool breeze. Everything goes to hell. You know.
Nobody has ever been louder than me on this podcast. You have succeeded in setting new records. This is great. Like I said, you're the so, ladies and gentlemen, who you're listening, I was late today. I lost my wallet. Doesn't really matter. But what does matter is that when you come to see a guest, you're like, how are they going to be? Sometimes they're a stiff. You were someone that it totally made it okay that I was, because you know you're nervous when you're meeting somebody. You don't want to be late.
Yeah.
You want to be professional.
Absolutely. All the P's.
Right?
Yeah.
Professional and?
Performance.
Right.
And on time.
Right. Yeah. Those are all the P's.
Yeah, it's all the P's.
Don't want to set a bad example. Proof, pudding. Proof,
that's correct. There
pudding.
A lot of P's in my life.
So you did, like, you wanted to be a big chef.
That was my dream.
At age like 10.
Yeah, at the age of 13, I wanted to be a chef. And I actually told that to my father, my future father. And I said, sir, by the time I'm 25, I'm going to be an executive chef.
And I'm going to be making $9 an hour. And,
well, at that time, I was hoping I'd be making more than 9, maybe 12 once I became executive chef. But when I did get out of school, I was my take-home pay with a wife, myself, and little Amy was $600 a month.
Right.
And our rent was $300. I still, to this day, don't know how the hell we did it.
Right. All right, let's do the math.
Okay.
What year is this?
Today?
What year was it that you made $600 a month?
Oh, 19... When did I get married? 1983.
In 1983 dollars. Let's see what this is.
It's a huge number.
It's always fun to do this, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not real. In other words, $600 is in 1983. I was 11, by the way.
Awesome. Thanks for rubbing it in.
Is equivalent in purchasing power to about $1,500 in 2018.
Oh, that's not bad.
The 1983 inflation rate was 3.21%. The inflation rate in 2018 was 2.44%. So you made $1,500, and you paid half of that in rent.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Well, the good news is my wife breastfed.
So you saved some milk.
We saved some milk, and she did it until they were 16. So we saved tons of money with milk.
Can I tell you – all right, that was a bad joke. I will laugh at your good jokes. I will not laugh at your bad jokes.
All right,
can I tell you that I was so excited – when the final child was out of diapers, because you spend so much on diapers.
Oh, God, yes.
Right?
I remember like yesterday.
But then I was like, why is her grocery bill $1,200 a month?
Yep.
So the trade-off, you still lose.
But how much deli meat do you allow your children to have? One slice, 2 slices? Do you measure it out? Do you scale it out?
You know my stepdad was like that. My stepdad was about portion control.
Really?
Big time.
So how much ham were you allowed to have in your sandwich?
Well, it wasn't about ham. It was just about plates. Like, you'd finish your plate, and it was just the right amount.
Oh,
you never had
perfect.
Too much. You never had too little.
Well, that's why you're so thin.
Portion control.
Wow, that's awesome.
He was big on that.
Wow.
We're not so much in my house. My kids eat, we make things for my kids.
Yep.
They take a bite and they don't eat it. and then an hour later they're hungry again, and you make them something else.
Yeah,
wait, kids are fucking horrible.
Let me tell you something right now. As a guy with older kids, there's never a happy moment.
Never.
Never. It's over.
Well, this is what I said to Stacy. We were watching them play last night. We went to this Yule Forest thing, and we're like, it's fall. It's like, you know, golden hour, as it were. Yeah. I'm like, this is great. I'm like, can we please live long enough that, like, they do good stuff for us? Like, that's all I could think about. I'm very selfish. I was like, maybe they take us out to dinner for our anniversary.
Oh, that would be nice.
Maybe they, you know what I mean?
Take the trash out.
Right.
Don't smash the car in the mailbox. And I thought, something really earth-shaking.
And then I thought, you know what? We'll probably die too soon, and we won't get to appreciate it. Like, we would have done all the hard work,
yeah,
and then you get none of the bennies from being the older parent.
Well, you know what? I got to be honest with you. I'm blessed because I get along great with my four kids, and we have a ball together. They're my best friends. I absolutely love them. I couldn't do it without them.
What do you guys do?
Dinner, a lot of concerts. It's actually fun to go out to dinner. Like last night, we went out for dinner, my two daughters, and it's just great when the check comes to watch how they can never find their wallet. They haven't carried.
See, that's what I want. I want them to pay. That's what I'm hoping it comes. I'm going to get a refill of this delicious coffee, by the way.
Oh, fantastic. Just talk to myself.
Tell me about a recent concert you went to while I get coffee.
All right. Well, I'm 3 years ago today was the greatest concert of my life when me and Carl and another buddy of mine, Dave, we went to Desert Trip in California, Palm Springs, California, and that was truly the best. On Friday, we saw this guy named Bob Dylan and the Rolling Stones. That was pretty good. And then the next day, which was today, 3 days ago, we saw Paul McCartney with Neil Young. And then on Sunday, we saw The Who and this little group called Pink Floyd.
Was it Coachella?
Yeah. Well, it's in the same spot as Coachella, but they called it Desert Trip.
You know, Carl and I got to go down memory lane. I saw the very first concert at the Georgia Dome.
Really?
Which was U2 with Public Enemy opening up. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't sure. I was pretty sure that it was the first show ever. And when I was interviewing him, it was one of the first things I said. I said, what was the first show? And he told me, and I was like, yes, I was so happy. And then we just went down the line. We've many, many shows we've been to together. I saw Bob Dylan up in Gwinnett.
Uh-huh.
Can't say it was the most exciting show I've ever seen.
Yeah, he's a moody guy. He's a moody guy.
He didn't, you know what I mean? He kind of did it by the numbers. He just kind of showed up and...
It's hard to spell. ELO was that way for me in July. I thought he just showed up, did the play the 20 songs, and went home.
Jeff Lynne?
Yeah.
Love that guy.
I loved him. Did you see the show?
No.
He just stood there, did an amazing job with the music. I just thought it was kind of boring.
Can he hit the notes still?
Oh, yeah. He crushed it.
Yeah?
Yeah, he crushed it.
Did you use your fame and fortune as the proof of the pudding guy to maybe get backstage?
No, not for this one.
But do you sometimes?
Sometimes, yes, I have. Right. It's been awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
You and Carl like the big...
Well,
swinging Carl, penises Carl, of Atlanta.
Carl is the master blaster to get these passes. We were at Kenny Chesney in Boston, and we were backstage, and literally minutes, seconds before Kenny went on stage, Carl's buddy who runs all the shows for Kenny grabbed us on stage. We were on stage, took a picture. We got this great shot of us with 60,000 people at New England Stadium over there, and just went out there. It was spectacular. And you run backstage, and when you feel that force, because when we go to a show, you're shouting this way, right? But
right.
When you're on the stage, you're getting the shouting.
Right.
It's an amazing feeling. And of course, I didn't have anything to do with that, but
right.
You felt like it was part
you're
of
like,
you.
You're like, oh, wow, this is like what it's like to be a rock star for like 2 seconds.
Exactly. And then it just keeps going and building and building and building. But it was awesome.
All right. I thought I would save this question, but you know, it's funny. We said, I know you guys do the food out at the park. So,
which park?
The horse park.
Oh, yeah, the horse park. We got a lot of parks. I mean, what park? You got to narrow it down.
So listen.
Remember,
it's
a pee.
I go to a lot of these races.
Yep.
Once upon a time, you show up to a race,
mm-hmm.
you get your T-shirt or your medal or whatever, and you go home.
Right.
Now, everybody wants an experience.
Right.
So they've got these festival areas set up.
Yeah.
Okay? Whether it's an obstacle race or a regular race or whatever. And a big thing is food trucks.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Finish the race. Oh, look, we've got the Mexican, we've got the burger, we've got the thing.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I go there and there is no food truck. There's one booth and it's $10 for a burger.
Right.
And you say, why is there only one truck for burger? They go, well, the venue made us use this person because that's their vendor.
Right, right.
And I'm usually very upset about that
mm-hmm.
because I enjoy a multitude of choices.
Right, right. Why is it? It just doesn't sound fair. It just doesn't sound fair. And I hope you feel bad about that. I just feel bad that you don't feel – I mean, it is tough. There is, it's a business, right? It's a business. And Arthur Blank down at the stadium changed the world, charging $2 for a hot dog, $2 for Cokes, and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But he also has the magic formula because he owns the team, he owns the stadium, and he owns basically the food. So when you don't have the revenue share of the food like you do typically in a contract, that's where the difference is. But at your race, in our business, it's the toughest thing to do. Is this figure out, okay, we've got 1,000 racers running in the race.
Except it's like 5,000 usually.
Like I was saying, 5,000. Maybe our information, it was 1,000. That's why I only put out a $10 burger.
Right.
I'm just kidding. But there's 5,000 racers. And you have to make a decision. Okay, 5,000 people, they're going to eat something. What are they going to eat? How much are they going to eat? Because unfortunately, in the business I've chosen, food you just can't keep on a shelf. It's going to eventually spoil.
Right.
And that's when it costs you a ton.
Right.
So it's a magical formula. When you get it right, it's perfect. When you miss it, when you only have one stand open instead of five, that's when you hang your head down low and say, we could have done better next time. Mm-hmm. Or when you put 10 stands out and we should have had one. That's
right.
When the business side of it hurts.
Right. So Conyers Horse Park,
yep. They,
for you to do business with them, you say to them, hey, listen, nobody can ever bring anything except us. That's your deal with them, and they get a good rate. That way, is that how that works? I'm just educating myself.
Sure, there's all kinds of contracts out there. That's over at the horse park. It's called an exclusive food and beverage provider. So we are the exclusive at the horse park. But if your race was coming, let's just say it's Matt race coming in for 5,000 people, and you want to bring in a Chinese guy, an Indian truck, a burger truck, and a Who's Your Mama truck,
right?
Fantastic. We'll work with them, and we'll say, okay, then we're going to split the revenue, whatever the revenue is going to be, between the truck and then us, the house, and we'll satisfy that need of the guest. That happens all the time.
Okay. So when they say to me, we can't because the venue's making us, they're lying to us.
I don't know if they're lying, but maybe but maybe they're not telling you the truth. Or maybe they haven't asked the right question. The only thing we don't wiggle on is booze, because booze is the one thing you cannot bring in your own booze. You cannot. You have to go through the licensing.
Right. Well, that's not an issue. They usually just sell beer or
right.
or whatever.
Yeah.
So, is it worth it for the food trucks then? If they have to give up, they're going to give up whatever. How does it work with the food trucks anyway?
So a food truck or a vendor, let's say Sonny's Barbecue's there or Sony. Is it Sony or Sonny's?
Sonny's.
Okay, I like that one much easier.
Okay.
Easier. The barbecue dude.
Right.
And so he's there. They're going to split the revenue. So let's just say they come in and they're going to do $1,000 in sales, back out sales tax. They'll pay us anywhere from 25 to 35% rent. Then we pay that back to the house, and then they keep the 70 or 75, whatever the math left over. And it is worth it to them because they've got 5,000 people coming for those 3-4 hours of that event, and they guaranteed that somebody's going to eat their whatchamacallit food.
Well, if they're taking – it's win-win-win for them. I just said win-win-win because if they're going to get – they're going to split it with you or the five food trucks. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Probably in the end, the same amount of dollars is going to be spent.
That's correct, probably. You would hope so, depending on weather, of course, too.
All right. Well, listen, I don't want to – you know, I want to make sure you can afford to buy your kids and grandkids presents at Christmas.
Right, right.
But when they say we couldn't get anybody else, I'm going to say, listen –
how about this?
I talked to the guy,
right. And
he says, you can, you just have to split it.
Right. Or, exactly, that's how it works.
So.
But the splitter, now, that, like, for example, we have an event going right now at one of our venues, and they want to bring in Sally's homemade apple pies from her house.
Right.
Right. Well, we can't do that. It has to be a licensed vendor. It has to be insured. It can't be Sally from the backyard because she's got the best apple pie in the world.
Right. Now, how the drive to Conyers is not short.
No, it's not. But they got a great Sonic on the way there.
So everything's just in tins on the way out there?
Tins?
What do you call them?
I've never heard that called before. Hey, Bob, order some tins. We're dragging 20 tins. I mean, we just met Chef Howard downstairs. Wait, Howard!
Are they used to this around here? When they hear you screaming? Are they totally used to this?
I actually don't know where I am right now. I've never been in this room before. Where are we? Are we in your house?
So
we got the tin.
That's a schlep, as we say. That's a schlep out to Conyers.
It's a schlep.
Right?
Yeah.
So we want to keep the food
decent.
Well,
how many schleps is it to Conyers?
It's a many, many schleps. So it's a 45-minute drive.
It is a far drive.
All right, so let's say this. Okay, so I'm the vendor, right?
Yep.
I'm sorry, I'm the race coming to town. And I say, and I show up. And Conyers Horse Park goes, hey, got to work with Proof. There are guys. How many different choices do they have?
Oh, as far as our food?
Yeah.
We'll do anything.
It's not like a choice like, hey, you can have chicken and fries or you can have burgers and fries.
Yeah, we'll do whatever. We're going to do whatever the customer wants to do.
But you probably have some standard packages, as it were.
Of course we do, yeah. And most of the time it's chicken.
It is chicken.
Most of the time it's chicken. I always say all we do is sell chicken and hot dogs because it's usually chicken and it's usually hot dogs in a concession environment.
Right.
But of course people want to do fancier food.
This is not fancy, though. This is like a flat burger.
So going back to the tins, you know, so Howard just made the food for Conyers, and it obviously is hot or cold, and then we got to get it back down to temperature below 40 degrees, and we put it in a tin.
Right.
So we got this magic tin in the walk-in, and then
What do you call it?
Hotel pans. But who knew that? Why is it called a hotel pan? That's really, because it's not in a hotel. Actually, that's a great question. We should Google that. Why in the hell is it called the hotel pan?
Well, clearly it's because it started at hotels, but keep going.
Okay, cool. So now
one cooked that much food in their own house.
Oh,
right?
Okay, there you go. That's
so right. It was cooked at the hotel.
It was Sally's apple pies.
Unless it was Sally's apple pies, exactly.
Yeah. God, I don't really care for Sally.
Screw
by the way.
Sally.
You can. But where was I? Okay, so we got the tins going in the walk-in, so now we got a proper temperature. So now it's time to go out to schlep it out to Conyers. We're going to put it inside one of our refrigerated trucks, keep it below that magic 40, drive it out to Conyers, and then unload the truck and reheat it at the time for your party, your event.
Got it.
And then bring the dirty tins back.
Bring the dirty tins back.
That's the hard part.
Somebody needs to wash those damn tins.
Somebody needs to wash them.
So
we pay by the tin.
Is your contract with them forever?
No. It goes out for bid every 3 years.
Every 3 years.
Yep.
Is there a young upstart somebody that wants to crush Proof of the Pudding as the city's largest blah, blah, blah?
Yeah.
You guys are probably the city's largest blah, 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 right?
Yeah, we're the largest in the Southeast, yes.
In the Southeast?
Yes.
Okay, so there's got to be some young kid out there, some much younger version of you and the chef down the stairs, who are like, we're going to fucking get all their business.
There probably is, because that's the way we're thinking right now also. We try to get all the competition. You know, it is fun, though, to look back. We're 41 years old now, so we started in 79, excuse me. And at the time, it was just us on Affairs to Remember.
Right.
And now there must be 35 catering companies out there because they watch Food Network. I know how to – Sally's Apple Pies are out there, or Bob's Meatloaf companies.
Right.
And they are going to try to, of course, steal the business. But in the large convention centers that we're in large arenas, it's tough for an upstart to start unless he's got the people and the resources to get it going.
Well, and it's the relationships more than anything. You guys would have to mess up pretty bad for them to be like, all right, we're done. We're done with those guys over Proof.
Yeah, exactly. Well, long-term contract or short-term contract, every one of them has a divorce clause. They can fire us for some reason or we get fired, whatever. But the great news is, knock on wood in your coffee cup, in 41 years, we've never lost an account.
That's not true.
It's totally true. It's true. Google it. Google it. We've never lost an exclusive contract.
I don't know what that would mean, but I don't think I don't think it's a true thing.
It's a true thing.
Not one person has been unhappy in 40 years?
Oh, no. I'm not saying that. Of course, because food's the most emotional thing in the world. So people are going to like your chicken, not like your chicken. I'm talking about the contract itself at a venue we've never lost. Now, in those venues, have somebody not cared for our food or service? Absolutely.
So you've never been fired?
We've never been fired.
I'm going to find someone.
Okay, exclusive contract. Now, there might be someone out there that says, you know, I didn't really care for my experience at Proof, and that would be a different story.
No, but I mean somebody who runs a venue or a thing. So, you have all the big venues in the city, yes?
We used to when we had MGR Food Services.
Move this over just in case.
Okay, sorry, pardon.
Actually, it's probably better there.
Okay, fine. So, we used to Proof of the Pudding. And our sister company, or maybe our parent company, used to be called MGR Food Services. And that was with Phil Noyes, who's our chairman. So we had Proof of the Pudding for all the other stuff. And then we had MGR, which was the Georgia Dome, Georgia World Congress Center, and Centennial Olympic Park. And it was there since day one. And so at that time, we had every venue in town. We actually had a piece of Phillips Arena, actually, at the time. And then in September 1st, 2001, 10 days before 9/11, Phil sold, I was one of his business partners over there at MGR, and we sold half of our company to Levy Restaurants, and then the other half was purchased in 2004, and then I joined the Proof side of the family in 2007.
So wait, what were you doing?
Where?
You said you were...
I was over at the Georgia Dome, Georgia World Congress Center, and Centennial Olympic Park since 92 until when I joined.
And that's how you started being buds with Carl?
Yeah, Carl and all the buds over there. I used to work for, Carl was Carl's office was obviously the big boss office. Then two doors down was my office, the food guy.
Okay, so who's? Wait a minute. You said you said something.
Yeah, it's just maybe that's what happened in my marriage. It just she never remembered anything I said.
Is that what happened?
No. I don't think so. Maybe it was.
I don't
think I went camping enough.
Is that really the difference maker?
I think at the end of the day, what happened was for 25 years, our thing was our four kids, and there was always something going on. I would literally call home and go, what happened? What did he or she do?
Right.
And you would get the rundown, and you have a reaction to it, and you had to do it. And then all of a sudden, all the kids went away, and it was just the two of us. And I didn't adjust to go camping once in a while or to do whatever. She doesn't like going to concerts. I love going to concerts. I hate going camping. She loves going camping.
Right, so you got
to
go camping.
I should have gone camping more. Maybe once, twice. I mean, I did go camping once at a Marriott, and that was freaking horrible. I mean, they had, oh, God, they were 30-count sheets instead of my usual 300,000-count Egyptian sheets. Can you imagine, Matt?
I told you I wasn't going to laugh at your bad jokes.
Okay, all right. Well, thanks. I only have no friends. That's why I have no friends.
So, oh, man, we were all over the place. And I'm fine with all over the place, okay. By the way. That's kind of how I roll.
Okay.
But you had said something about the history there where they sold half the business?
No, what we did was we were the exclusive down there, those three properties, and then Phil and his genius sold half of it to Levy.
Who's Levy?
Levy is, at the time, it was called Levy Restaurants, and it was based out of Chicago, and it was owned by a gentleman named Larry Levy. And so he got into the contract business, but he was going multiple states. And Phil did consulting with him when they got the McCormick Place in Chicago, that was a huge convention center in Chicago. And they have now grown. They've done pretty well. They're now doing a couple $1 billion a year. They're around the planet. And it's because of the purchase of MGR. I'm convinced of it. No, I'm just kidding. But they're just a huge company that bought our contract.
Okay. And at what point did you sort of wake up one day and realize this is the last job I'm ever going to have?
I think it happened when Phil hired me in 92. I mean, I'm not a job jumper. I was with a past company with them for a couple of years, and then we owned a restaurant in Chicago. We had that for a couple of 3 years, and I was with Marriott for about 6 years. And Marriott truly was one of the experiences that I still use their systems, their planning skills to this day. They're phenomenal at it. And
do they teach you to measure out the size of the truck in
all that kind of stuff? You know, and every tin is 40 people,
right?
And every gallon of coffee is 20 people, and those kind of math numbers they stuck with me forever,
right?
A speed card to hold the tins is enough for 600.
Do you notice how tins just rolls off your tongue as part of your vernacular now?
I can't wait to use it in the next staff meeting. We have a conference call, and I'm gonna
yell.
Will
they be sitting in here?
We sit in the bigger one over there.
What happens in this room usually?
In this room here, it's a much smaller room. I love, I really, because I'm old, I never really experienced working next to somebody, you know, like, what's that called? Community space. And so we'll be up here, this afternoon we're going to be up here talking about the boat shows. So we'll have the chef here, the salesperson here, myself here, and the GM here talking about our boat shows that open up in 2 weeks.
And what decisions do you make around the boat shows?
How many tins to buy? It's all about those things.
If you got the sales gal
yep.
and the chef,
yep.
what are you?
I guess what I am is the referee or the moderator, because I've got I have the greatest team in the world, and I know everybody says that, but I truly do have the best team in the world. You can't operate in 7 states waking up in the middle of the night screaming, how is the meatloaf going in Kentucky?
How is the meatloaf going in Kentucky?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, because we don't have any meatloaf, and we don't have any accounts in Kentucky.
In Kentucky, good point.
But I wish we had meatloaf in Kentucky.
Right.
Our meatloaf is more famous than our pudding. So what we'll do is we just go down the planning of it. It's the hardest part of the job is not the tins, not the food, is the people. And how are we going to hire 350 people for 5 days down in Fort Lauderdale in extreme heat? And how are we going to make that happen? Those are the kind of things that were on the timetables we talk about today.
Okay, so you still didn't answer the question. What your role? You said the referee.
I think that's what I am. I think I'm the referee, and also I have to remember what we did last year, what went well. Of course, it's always easy to talk about what went well, but you got to remember the things that could have gone better, and those are the things we got to make sure that we don't do the same mistake again, from understaffing to overstaffing to overbuying to short buying, whatever it might be.
So we still didn't quite get the answer to, you know, when you realize, like, this isn't just a job I'm going to kind of
Oh, that's right. We were talking about that.
Like I'm just going to, this is going to be my thing, like, for the next however many years. Until they, I mean, they could fire you, I guess.
Oh, of course, yeah.
But I mean, like, that you realized you weren't going to leave.
I think what happened to me in 92 when Phil hired me was he had a great line. And this is how he sold me on it. I was living in Miami. I love Miami. What's not to love?
It's a beach.
I was from Chicago, and I hate the cold. I mean, I hate the cold. It changes my personality. I don't like going into freezers. I don't like going walk-ins. Now I'm in Miami in December with shorts on.
Awesome.
It is awesome, right? So I come up here to Georgia. I'm interviewing with Phil, and this is long before we had Google. He goes, you know, it never gets below 45 degrees in Georgia.
Right.
So that was like one checkpoint on the positive thing. Of course, right. I could have probably done some research on that, but anywho.
It kind of doesn't, though. We have like, what I tell people is we have 3 weeks of winter. We're just not sure when
that's
those
point.
3 weeks are going to happen.
Yeah, that's, and it's miserable when it does.
Right.
Yeah, it's miserable. So I got here up to work, and I was so unsure if I was going to be successful with Phil that we rented a house in Marietta for the first year. In case it didn't work out, we weren't stuck with a mortgage. And working at the Georgia Dome for me, so I was, how old was I? I was like 30-some, young 30s years old, and big boss there, general manager there, working in this giant stadium. And 72,000 people there, and how do you get ready for 72,000? And you had Carl there as my mentor. Cleo Johnson was there as my mentor. These great, great people that let a young guy like me make the mistakes or learn from my mistakes. And that's when I knew I had something special here with that teamwork. And Dan, the way he ran those properties, and it was never, because a lot of venues and companies are, oh, that's the food guy, oh, that's the housekeeper guy, oh, that's the landscaper guy. Always there, it was, well, food service, you never felt like the other guy. And,
right.
And that's when I knew it was special. And because at the other venues I was working at with the other company, you were always the food guy, you were never part of the family. It's kind of like a distant cousin that you only see at Christmas time or whatever. But that's when I knew it was special. And then Phil taught me something else. He goes, you know, with the other company, you're going to be doing a lot of traveling. And with my company, I've only got these three properties. You're going to sleep every night in your pillow at your house with your family. So I got home every night, and whatever time it was, from 6 o'clock in the evening till midnight, I always came home to my house with my four kids and wife. And that was wonderful for me.
Right. Yeah. So I actually used to be in the staffing business.
Oh, wow.
And I staffed events and trade shows. Uh-huh. And I definitely had clients that treated me like a vendor. And no one wants to be treated like,
no, it sucks.
You know what I mean? Like, you may as well be the porta potty guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And nobody wants to be treated that way.
I actually started a let's see if you like this joke. I was thinking about starting a porta potty company. You know what the name of it is?
What's the name of it
going
to be?
It looked better going in.
I that one's okay.
Okay, all right.
That's an okay name.
All right.
So, have you talked to whoever your boss is, whoever writes your check, and just say, "Listen, I'm just going to do this until I can't come to the office in my wacky jeans anymore." Like, I'm just going to keep coming here for the next 20 years. Like, do you have those conversations, or you just every year you renegotiate? How does that work?
Well, I'm one of the business partners of Proof.
Well, there you go. It's hard to get rid of you.
Yeah, it's hard to get rid of me. I got a golden handcuff. But even if I didn't have the golden handcuff, I would still come to work here. I love Phil. I love Adam. They have treated Adam as his son. He's the president of our company. And they have treated me and given me the latitude? Or given me the space to be me.
Latitude?
Is that it? I like that word. I think it's a restaurant, too. But they've given me the space for me to be me. And with our team and excelling in what we do, we're never going to be as big as those big companies we mentioned before. But we are enjoying a great growth spurt. We've grown gigantic since 2004. Now we're in 7 states. And it's something cool to talk about. But still, it comes down to making every event perfect.
So where are all the other offices or kitchens or tins if you're in all these other states?
We got a lot of tins. And each location has its own office or its own warehouse or its own kitchen, or maybe it doesn't and we have to borrow or rent it for, like in Fort, a great example, 2 weeks is the boat show. They're literally setting up barges on the ocean, and that's going to be our bar. And then we have a band in there and we have food service in there. So everything's built from scratch. Same with the golf tournaments. We build everything from scratch. Literally from the ground up.
So do you want to be in more states? Do you want to do more events? Like, what's the goal?
Oh, gosh. The goal is just to continue a growth pattern. We have 1,700 employees now that call Proof of the Pudding home for their revenue, give them enjoyable work experience. But I think the end goal is you always want to grow. I don't know why you wouldn't want to grow, right? Because I don't know why you wouldn't want to grow. But we have to grow at a pace that we don't grow too fast. We've just got hopefully we got some new things that we can announce here soon that are going to make us even larger than what we are today. And that's terrific. But also you got to make it – there's a reality to it also. But I don't know what the end goal is. I think the end goal is I'm old. All right, first of all, I'm 58. I'll be 58 tomorrow, by the way, and no, Thursday. And I'm getting old. My kids work here at the company, and maybe it's a generational thing for me, or at some point maybe have to move on.
Did you want them to come work here?
Yeah, it's awesome. Like, Amy's down in accounting, and Susie's down in GICC, the Georgia International Convention Center, in sales. And my son Billy works here part-time as a bartender up in Gwinnett. Does a great Billy Ocean vodka drink. So that part of it is great. I think the restaurant business is in their DNA. It's definitely in my DNA. That's why I need to get a blood transfusion to get it out of my system. You're still not laughing. All right, God. You know,
yeah, because I think about that, right? Like, will my kids want to do anything that I do? I think it feels like teenage and early 20s, they want to get, seems like, far away from the parents, and then maybe they come back around later. Yours did or didn't do that.
Each one of my kids was a special terrorist during their teenager years.
Right.
And they were individually good at being a terrorist. And each one did it differently at different times, which was wonderful for my wife and I, being their parents. But something happened where they all of a sudden became good again, and they came back to the good side of the force instead of the bad side of the force.
Right.
And Princess Leia was there to save the day and all that kind of stuff. But
right.
And then they got into this business, maybe by chance, or maybe they just like it. But I think right now, like my daughter Susie, I think she's going to be a lifer in the business. I think Amy probably will. My son Billy works at a warehouse company, and my other son Sean, who lives up in Maine, is a mailman. So it's all over the board. Right there.
He's a mailman in Maine?
He's a mailman
in
Maine.
That's an interesting life.
It's a very interesting life. It's really cold up there.
It is really cold up there.
Yeah, they have 1 hour of summer a year.
That's not true.
You're right. 1 hour and a half. I rounded.
So you said you can't possibly wake up in the middle of the night about the meatloaf in Kentucky, but what are the things that can't just... I mean, you're obviously a very happy, effusive, jokey guy, but there's got to be some things that bother you.
Oh, that's a good question. What bothers me? I don't think anything bothers me. I'm kind of lucid on that one, but what does drive... Remember Family Guy when you go, what grinds my gears?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a great line. But what grinds my gears is when you have a plan and it comes down to the people and you schedule 20 people to be somewhere and 10 show up or 8 show up or whatever it is. And in our business, it's kind of like in football a little bit. You got to do whatever you got to do with what you have. Not what you want, but what you have.
Right.
And that's the part for the guests never to know the service experience difference.
Right.
It's part of the magic.
Yeah, in the staffing business it was like that, and we had to sort of always overstaff, which when it works out great, like the exact number of people show up that are supposed to show up, but then sometimes it costs you money because more than enough people showed up, but you got to kind of roll the dice there.
Yeah, exactly.
Because being short people sucks.
Oh, it's horrible. Yeah, it's tough on everybody. You know, from the dishwashing areas all the way up to the whoever areas. It's very tough.
So, you know, you have how many permanent employees? You said 1,700 or something?
We have 1,700 employees in the payroll system right now, 1,700 or so. Funny, I'm going to tell you a funny story about payroll.
Okay.
All right. So five, six years ago, my daughter Amy's husband's, somebody died. I forgot who died. And we're at the funeral place where you get the deli sandwiches and the bagels and all that stuff. So I'm sitting next to Amy, and this guy next to me goes, "What do you do for a living?" And I don't usually like talking about it. So I'll go, "I work for a catering company in Atlanta." "Oh, what's the name of the company?" "Proof of the Pudding." "Oh, okay, here we go. What's your role?" I'm one of the guys that works there, you know, and try to be...
You're trying to downplay.
Big time downplay. Because then the questions become different. You know, once you tell them a different story, then you got to, "Oh my God, I don't know that." So I don't like to get into that. So
right.
He goes, "Well, how many employees do you have?" I said, "Gosh, I think I got like 80. And Amy goes, "Dad, we have 600 employees.
Right.
And so finally the guy goes, he goes, "Now, what do you do for the company?" Yeah, I just thought it was a great setup, you know. But we have 1,700 that are part-time. We have probably full-time 300 to 400.
How many are in this building right now?
60.
I counted less.
Well,
I think they're on break. Are they on break?
No, there's about an average of 60 people in this building a day.
Do you know what you said in my email, what you said to me?
No.
Do you? Are you someone that types very fast?
Yes.
You said...
And I don't preview.
Right.
Yeah. Here we go.
You said, you gave me the address, and then you said across from LG, right?
Oh, it's so hard to spell K and G.
And so I get over to Topgolf. I'm like, did he mean Topgolf? Like TG? Like, I don't call it that, but maybe somebody does. And then I saw something else, and I was like, well, there's KG. Maybe that's what he meant. Anyway, so that's what happens when you don't.
Sorry about that.
It's okay.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, it's okay.
All right, thanks. All right. I feel better now, but I feel terrible because I do that all the time. I've even been known to send an email to the wrong person.
That's dicey.
Yes, it is dicey.
Super careful with that one.
Super careful.
Do you do it on your phone or your laptop?
Both. Majority probably is the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How has technology and systems, have you had to be like, oh my God, we've got to overhaul again? Like everything's like 3 years later, 6 years later. Or has the technology gotten good enough that it can upgrade itself as you go along?
You know, so here I am. I'm so old, right? So back in the olden days, I'm young guy in the business, and I'm down at Joe Robbie Stadium, which is like 15 generations ago, working for the Dolphins. And I'm a young guy talking to my boss.
Wait, real quick, Joe Robbie Stadium was a horrible stadium, if I recall, right?
I loved it. Why do you think it was horrible?
Didn't it get a virtue for being home? Did it become Tropicana Field? Or is that another one?
No, I think that's Tampa. Joe Robbie is now Hard Rock.
Hard Rock Stadium.
Hard Rock Stadium, yeah.
Who plays there?
Miami Dolphins.
Positive.
100%.
They still play there?
Yes, sir.
Does the University of Miami play there?
No, they play. I think they do now, but they used to play in the Orange Bowl.
Right. Orange Bowl's been torn down a while, though.
Oh, okay.
Old
so
guy.
They
come
may,
on.
I don't know if. I bet you they do play there.
There was a baseball
My
stadium.
My brother has season tickets.
There was a baseball stadium that was crappy down there, and I can't remember which one I'm thinking of.
It was played in Joe Robbie Stadium. The Marlins played there, and then they built their own place down in the city.
Maybe that's the one that sucks.
It did suck. The seats pulled in, and everybody hated it.
Okay, see? I knew there was a state in Miami that sucked.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
the one you worked at, though.
Well, I actually did work there, but during the time of the Marlins and...
All right, what was the damn story we were telling?
Now I forgot. What was the story? Damn it.
Something about... I could rewind this tape, but I'm not very good at that.
No, I wouldn't either. So what were we talking about? Stadiums? Help me out here. Does any people in the room not remember?
Employees. You have 60 employees. None of them are here.
Yeah.
Now it's trouble if we both forgot the point we were on.
Yeah, it stinks. Doesn't it getting old?
Trust me, we'll get there.
Okay, cool.
You said you're old. This stuff. Oh, systems.
Oh, thank goodness. So I'm in there with my boss, right? I'm a young guy. I'm back. I had to take a break.
I need more tents.
God, nobody listens.
I'm about to really fix this when I get
nobody
it.
Listens anymore. There's not been a single tin delivered. So, down there, I'm talking to my boss. I said, boss, listen, we got to get this thing called a fax machine.
Right.
It's a thing that brings paper in somehow or another. He goes, are you kidding me? You got to do it on the phone. Everything's on the phone. The fax machine will never work. You
right.
know, you young whippersnapper, you.
Right.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? We got to get a fax machine. So fast forward. Now I'm the old guy in the room. And now the young people are coming in the room, much younger than me.
Right.
And saying, dude, you got to get this, this, and this.
Is he bringing the tins? Is that guy bringing the tins?
He's not the tin manager.
Okay.
He's not the tin manager.
Which guy's that?
I'm not sure. I've never saw him before in my life.
You know that guy. Come on.
That is Larry Larson.
And what is? Did you explain who he was to me earlier?
No.
Who is he?
Larry Larson is the vice president of operations.
Okay. Is he your boss?
No.
What is your title?
That's a good question. My title currently is senior vice president.
Senior vice president.
Yeah. My boss is Adam Noyes.
Who owns the company?
Yes. Along with five others.
Senior vice president.
What is? Because I'm old.
Right.
Yeah, that's the reason seniors there.
Okay, but you are on sort of the ops side, yes?
I kind of pretty much so, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're that guy's boss.
I think so. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So now we're back to the millennials in the room. They want to get all this damn technology.
Right.
So I remember in '95 or '90, whenever it was, because I don't remember, but I remember saying, I don't think this internet thing is going to work.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to work at all. Who the hell is going to pay a bill on the internet? What's this thing called? Email, intramail, or whatever it was called.
Right.
And then slowly you start getting in because you've got to move with the times. I still can't hate my Apple update that just happened on my phone. I can't figure it out. Everything's now got these little emojis all over the place.
Right.
So
you never do the update. This. I think she has a question for you.
That Dina, she's the tin manager.
Bring us some tins.
What?
Bring us some tins.
What?
We need tins.
We need tins, Dina. Tins. Never saw her before in my life.
Okay, I'm gonna give you from one. From one person who's slightly... So I'm Gen X, right? I'm the one after you, right? Are you a baby boomer? Is that what you are?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm Gen X. I'm the one right after you. We used to be the young whippersnappers. Now we're not.
Exactly.
Never do the update right away.
Oh, really?
Bugs to crazy. There's a new iOS on the Mac called whatever the fuck it's called. Don't do that. Don't download that fucker. You wait and wait and wait. Hold on to Mojave or whatever you got for as long as you can.
Got it. All right, good.
Oh, we probably woke the baby.
Wow. Here.
Clearly you do.
Apparently we do.
So yeah, always avoid getting the latest iOS if you can.
Good advice.
Hang on, I got three very important texts.
Wow. You found your wallet?
No, I didn't. Oh. I was hoping one of them would be my wife saying I found my wallet.
That would be awesome.
I think this is going to be great. You and I are off this like great relationship because hopefully we'll stay friends.
Absolutely.
Maybe we'll go to some rad shows together, bro.
Yeah. Want to go now?
We can vape, maybe.
I'm not a vapor.
That's what the kids do. The kids are vapors.
Yeah.
I don't vape.
I don't smoke at all.
I don't. Me either.
Yeah, never have.
I did for quite a while. Stop touching the microphone.
No, there's a hair on there.
Ugh. Yeah. Great. Now you're going to gross out all my future guests. So you still haven't answered my question.
What was the question?
Would you answer a goddamn question I've asked you?
No. What was the question?
Systems.
Oh, I did answer. I think we have to, with systems here.
I'm saying, is there often a, is there, it's not a, you know what I'm saying? However your processes work,
right.
Whether it's taking orders or whatever, is the technology gotten good? Because once upon a time, you were doing
typewriters
in triplicate.
Yes,
right. Keep the pink copy.
Yes,
keep the goddamn pink copy. Right,
there's with
no
a typewriter.
There's no more pink copies.
There's no more pink copies.
So
and CC, nobody knew what that meant. Carbon copy, nobody knew it, but everybody today is CC.
Would you believe that I just learned that?
No kidding.
No, because I know BCC is blind carbon copy.
Exactly.
But I don't think I ever.
Yeah.
I think you just blew my mind, bro.
Whoa, fantastic.
So when the technology shifts now. And you're like, OMG, you say, OMG, we've got to get the Transmogrifier 65000 because we've been using the 4500.
Right. And right now, we use a system called CaterEasy. CaterEase, but we call it CaterEasy. So all of our information for the BEO.
Because some smart person said, you know who needs systems? Caterers, right? Yes, just like exactly. There's stuff for doctors
and
hair appointment people. So you've got the CaterEase.
We've got the CaterEase. So it's got all the information in there for that event. Accounting, billing, BEO.
Does it mix with Salesforce? Everything's got to go with Salesforce.
We don't use Salesforce. I don't
know. Fuck Salesforce.
Yeah, I don't know.
Fuck those people.
Yeah, okay, great. Did you used to work for them?
No.
Okay, cool.
I did staff the Salesforce conference in San Francisco, Moscone Center. I'm sure you're familiar with it.
Absolutely.
Mr. In the events business.
Yes.
500 fucking people we had to come up with.
Wow. How many did you come up with?
Foreign change.
Oh, that's not bad. It's not bad at all. Okay. So with the systems.
we can tell some stories, I think. I like, you understand my plight.
Well, it's 85% chance you're going to get everybody.
Can I tell you?
100% of the time.
Can I tell you that I hated the staffing business?
Really? Why? Yeah,
I actually was making like a decent living.
Really?
Like I remember the first time my wife was acting. I was doing stand-up. We were typical broke, artists.
Yep.
Right? And I start the staffing company. And within like the first year, I remember I got a check for $25,000.
Wow.
Now I had to pay people for it. Most of it went back out the door. Another issue with the staffing company they didn't like. But I was like, can you believe someone wrote me a check for $25,000?
Yeah, it's huge.
Blown away. I didn't know how to remove myself. I did wake up at night going, oh my God, we're going to be short seven people. And I let a certain client, who I won't say his name on here, do that to me. And I wouldn't, now I have a thing called boundaries.
Right.
But back then, you know, if we needed 97 people and I brought 95 and one of them had their shoes untied, I would hear about it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, totally.
And now I would go, excuse me, is the client happy? Great. Then let's move on.
Right, right.
Because that's what it's about.
Exactly.
Like you said, the client never noticed.
Right.
Now, if you want to bring things up to the fact of, hey, clients, like I specifically remember one time having a half an hour conversation where I was literally almost in tears because he just berated 27 points. And at the end, it was like, but the client never saw any of it, so they're good. And I was like, well, lead with that. That's what fucking matters.
Exactly. It's always about the customer.
Right.
Always.
But you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I totally get it.
So do you fire some clients for that reason? Like they're, you know, we turn it around. We go, you know what? We keep your check. We're okay.
I don't think we have.
Don't say never in 41 years or I will.
No, I don't want.
Knock the water off your table.
Well, it's empty, so you can.
Okay.
I don't think we have, but there's some clients that when the phone rings, you're like getting a little nervous about what's going to happen on the other end. And there's other clients that are just the most sweetest people in the world,
right.
even when the stuff's on the fan. It didn't go very well. That's when you really know you got a good client.
But you haven't fired any recently that you can think of?
I don't think so. Adam might know more than me on that. I don't believe we fired any client. I don't believe so.
Okay.
But I'm trying to be positive about it, too.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. Yeah. Just don't lie to me.
I'm not lying. All right, I can't think of any. If Amy was here, she knows everything. Amy would know.
Which one's Amy?
Number one daughter, downstairs in the con. We should call her. Have we ever fired anybody? And she'll know right away.
Number one daughter. Does she know that she's the number one daughter?
Oh, of course. She's in charge.
Do you have a favorite child?
Yes.
Me too.
Yes.
You're not supposed to, right. Apparently, but I do. Oh, mine's okay. My son, Jackson.
Oh, that's nice. Does he know it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
And if I tell the other kids that they're my favorite, he will tell them you're not.
Funny story, when I first started dating, I was dating this gal, and she was my first date in 25 years, first girlfriend in 25 years, right?
Did you go on Tinder?
No, I went on Match.com.
Okay.
And which was actually phenomenal, actually. I really enjoyed it, and it's just another way of trying to meet another person. When you look at me, I need all the help I can get.
Right. You're so old.
I'm old. I'm not attractive. I wear patch pants.
You have patch pants. You have thinning hair.
Yes, and a gap in my teeth. Let's do the math.
Okay.
It's not going to work out too good. So I'm at this date, and we're at dinner at the table, and this girl goes, after dinner, I go, well, what'd you think of the kids? She goes, well, there's no question, Amy's in charge. And I was blown away that for the first time she met the kids, she knew right away Amy's in charge.
Right.
So I remember when we brought Billy home, my number two son, and Amy was a year and 2 months old, year and a half old, and we sit Billy right next to Amy, and she literally said, I got this! I got this! And she's been in charge since a year and a half.
Really?
Old. Yeah. So that's perfect.
Interesting.
And she's single. So if you know anybody.
Why are you trying to hawk your kids off?
Because they don't have to. Then somebody else will help pay for dinner.
Oh, okay. I got it.
That's it.
But they're old enough now that they can do it themselves, no?
No.
Look, none of these people are whatever. Like, they're the least bit whatever that you're screaming your face off in here.
It's because I don't know who this guy is. I don't know who he is.
Do you often walk in the halls and not know who people are? That has to happen.
Oh, it happens a lot, yeah.
Do you just nod and wave?
No, I'd say, hey, how you doing? Everything great? You know, I learned a long time ago, and it happened to me at the Marriott, that I was working at the Marriott. I was 16 years old, and Mr. Marriott was coming down, the old guy.
JW?
The old guy. I don't know what his initials were. The old dude.
Well, the really nice hotels are JW Marriott, so I assume that's the guy's initials.
It's got to be, right? JW right. Marriott. So I got my little salad station, and I worked on my own time, got it all cleaned up, and I'm ready for Mr. Marriott to come down. And here comes Mr. Marriott, and I had my little name tag on. It said Ben, and he comes up to me. He goes, he reads my name tag. Ben, how you doing? I said, Mr. Marriott, I'd love to show you my station. So he went through my whole station, went in the walk-in, saw everything labeled and dated. He goes, good job, son. Keep up the good work, right? Goes down the hallway, and that wasn't even a moment in his life, but it changed my life. So why did it change my life? 5 years later, I'm down at the downtown Chicago Marriott, the biggest in the company at the time. And now we have this thing called regional managers that are coming around instead of the big Marriotts because they're billionaires. They're, you know, they've made 5,000 hotels already by this time. So now this regional manager comes down with more of an entourage than the entire movie entourage and behind him. And I cleaned up my station just like last time. I got my little name tag on. Now it said Ben Witty. Because when you're full-time, you get your last name. Part-time is only single name.
Nice.
So this regional manager, I'm ready there. I'm standing ready. And he walked right by me, including the entourage. Didn't even give me a minute of his valuable time. And I said to myself, if I ever become a boss, I am never, ever going to do that to one of my employees. And I try my best to say hello. I'm terrible at names. Everybody's Bob or Julie. But I try my best not to ever have that happen. And because it just makes me terrible. Feel terrible. You didn't have to laugh. It was a story that it put you to sleep. Why are you staring? Why are you taking off your shirt?
Because I thought if I looked at you, you'd just keep talking at some point.
I actually listen to watch TV. My hearing is so bad, I didn't even realize it's in Spanish sometimes.
Really?
Yeah.
Your hearing's bad?
Yeah, I have hearing aids. Another reason they got to go on Match.com.
Did you put all that in there? Gap in my teeth? Need hearing aids?
No.
Are you dating now or not?
Not really, no. It's too hard.
Yeah, I always say if my wife died, oof, I don't have the time or the patience to deal with someone else's nonsense.
Yeah,
get to know someone again.
It's exhausting.
Yeah, I can't do that.
And it's really screwed up because now you're older. You realize that when we were young guys, I was nervous as hell about girls. They don't like boys, and it turns out they did like boys.
Right.
And now you're older, and now you can actually afford a Big Mac or whatever it might be, or a Whopper,
right,
or something like that. And it's just crazy. My dating stories are the best ever.
Because they go horribly wrong?
Well, I'll tell you one story.
Okay.
All right. So Match.com.
I'm going to refill my coffee yet again.
Okay. Well, you can. But stop the staring. The staring is horrible.
Can I put a note in?
Yes.
We need a size up.
Oh, okay. Size up the cup?
Is this?
Cup guy! We need bigger cups! Mug! Bring them up! coming. They're coming right now with the tins.
When I order from you, because you're gonna, I'm gonna have you do my my daughter's bat mitzvah. Let's say.
Oh, fantastic! You know, we're opening up Savannah Hall with a kosher kitchen.
That's wonderful, darling.
Thank
when you.
You
do that. Is this the only dessert size for cups?
I'm gonna have the mug guy bring you up our official mug.
Because I've had to refill multiple times.
Yeah.
So I'm just
but
listen.
You need your steps.
Listen.
You need your steps.
What do you mean?
You're getting your steps in. It's at least three steps.
Oh, you're
now you're up to
I'm
10.
I'm a runner, dude.
Oh, I'm a runner.
Are you a runner really?
Hell no.
You're not a runner.
No, but my ex-roommate, Nicole, we had a funny thing going on.
My ex-roommate? What is this, in college? Is this in the 70s?
No, when I moved to my condo, I my daughter's friend, Nicole, needed a place to stay, so she stayed in my place.
That was very sweet of you.
Well, she paid me $1 million a month.
Okay.
All right. So you want to hear the dating story?
I want to hear a lot of horrible dating stories.
All right. Well, I got one.
Now, listen, I know you guys are very successful. You're in 13, how many states?
Seven.
Okay. I bet you could be in eight if you had like, this is like regular, and then we go medium maybe.
Oh, I got to show you this mug. Hold on.
Hold on. All right. I got to put the microphone out. I'm going to text the mug guy right now. Let's put her on speakerphone. What do you think?
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
How often is this, whether there's a conference happening today or not, is there always fresh coffee in that carafe?
No, we have a current machine over there.
But you knew I was coming.
Yep.
So you made me specifically,
yep.
Had no idea that I would drain like 12 of these tiny little cups.
No, I should have done better Google research.
You definitely should have done.
Yeah, I'm coffee.com.
Now, who makes these? Do you have a contract with Cafe Delight?
Sugar substitute?
No, we don't have a contract. That's a Restaurant Depot sugar that we probably didn't short order. We had to run down to Howard Depot and get it.
Do you know the guys at, too much milk. Do you know the guys at,
Yeah, it's coming up.
Do you know the guy at Blue Durango?
No.
Iced tea?
No.
Good
iced tea?
Yes.
Is his name Tom?
No.
Okay.
But he's a coffee guy.
Oh. But he would hate that cup.
Lake House Coffee Blue Durango Iced Tea. You've never heard of that?
I don't think so. Is that the blue one?
Can I make an introduction for you?
Of course.
Are you always looking for potential
always.
Good
always.
Tea vendors?
Yes, always.
This guy serves a lot of restaurants. He's a really good guy.
Fantastic.
And you're an iced tea guy. And he's kind of like you. He's kind of a lunatic like
okay.
you are.
All right. Like he doesn't like staring.
He and I hit it off in a similar way.
Uh-huh.
We sat down to talk iced tea. We ended up talking about concerts. We ended up talking about music.
Wow.
We ended up talking about our kids.
Awesome.
Well, I have to ask you this. I'm like, I can kind of go with the flow. If you sit down with like the AJC or like channel WSB or whatever, have you ever, like, do they sometimes leave early? Like if they're not quite ready for you, do they like kind of freak out a little bit?
No.
Like when you scream into the abyss, they don't like get up and go, okay, Ben.
No, it hasn't happened yet. You know, food people are different people. Food people are, we're round up tight. Differently than other folks.
Right.
You know, doctors. I was on a podcast last week with
excuse me. You were on a podcast last week. What am I?
This is this week.
What am I, chopped liver?
No, you're Matt.
I was on a podcast last week.
You're Matt the Starer. But
What podcast were you on last week?
Atlanta Business Live.
Was it with what's-his-name and the other guy?
Yeah, what's-his-name and the other guy. So there's
seriously, though, was it what's-his-name and the other guy?
Yeah, seriously.
Would you tell me his name?
I don't remember their name. I'm going to be honest with you. It's Bob and Julie.
Do you remember my name?
Matt.
Okay.
I got it written on the wall.
Do you really have it written on the wall?
No, I just thought of
Bob and that's really Bob and Julie? This is just good catch-all names?
Catch-all. So here – oh, wait a minute. I got to tell you a Bob and Julie story.
And
so,
then tell me a date story.
All right. So Bob and Julie is – everybody in this world is Bob and Julie. Everybody is Bob and Julie, right? So our largest customer at Auburn University are the Broadways, and they have a Broadway club because Mr. Broadway donated all this money. And so now he's got a club with 100 VIPs that pay $1 jillion to get in there.
Right.
And – he always says, and his wife, the most humble – in fact, I told him this as a compliment. If I ever got rich, I want to be like you because you're the most humble couple I've ever met in my life. They always say, Ben, please call us by our first name. Now, my mind is totally blank to their first names. True story. Their name is Bob and Julie Broadway. I am brain damaged from my four children. That's what happened.
That's what I tell people. They eat your brain thing.
They eat my
brain.
So
you
were
like, thank you very much, Bob and Julie. And it in fact was fucking Bob and Julie.
It was
almost as great as if you had my wallet up here after we went downstairs.
That would have been amazing.
Here comes a woman with mugs.
Here she comes. Here she comes, the mug lady. Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, here is the mug lady.
I came with
Stephanie. So, Stephanie, we've got so many complaints going here with Matt. He wanted to see a different kind of coffee cup. I called you the mug manager. Here you are. We got small, medium, large, and really small.
And really small.
So, yeah, I've had to refill this like 17 times. So I told him, I was like, hey, you guys are doing really well. Just a note.
Be right back.
Let's upgrade the coffee. And sure enough, here comes the coffee lady. Did you just touch the decaf? Because I'm not drinking decaf.
No, this is regular.
Okay, good. I thought you tried to sneak that in on me. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. Is that like a spoon's on the right thing? Is that a thing? Regular's always in the right?
Regular on the right.
That's
makes
a thing?
Sense, right?
It makes total sense, but I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
Now, is that an industry thing or a proof of the pudding thing?
That's a proof of the pudding thing.
Regular on the right.
Yeah.
What about spoons?
Spoons?
Yes.
Lego?
Yeah.
The right.
Right-hand side.
Right.
You can grab it. But I'm left-handed, so I'm torn on that one.
Knives go on the left, right?
No, right.
Knives go on the right.
What's on the left?
The forks.
Forks.
And you go out in. So you take the largest things out, the farthest things out, and you end with a dessert fork and a spoon.
Always.
Always. Always. 365. The entire planet.
Would you like to be a part of this podcast? Because you are now.
I would never want to steal his thunder.
It's impossible to steal his thunder. It is impossible to steal his thunder. What is your name?
I'm Stephanie.
Hang on, I think I just found my wallet.
No way. Is that in your...
I just found a pair of shorts. This is very embarrassing. I've been looking for my wallet all day, and I just found a pair of boxers inside my shorts.
Oh, my God.
Now, how is one walking around all day?
It's amazing, actually.
Well, it's only 10:47.
That's
but
true.
That's a pair of boxer shorts.
Is that why you were late? Just kidding.
I'm not sure I quite got that. I can't find my... I can't find my wallet this morning. And I didn't even tell you this part, but now that we're getting close, Ben... there's no gas in the car.
Oh,
so
shit.
I rolled the fucking dice to make it here. I really did. I was
we've got gas downstairs.
I was
a full gassing station.
I was like, you know what?
It's
this
right
interview's
LG.
Important. I don't want to reschedule. You're a busy man. I'm going to go for it. You're about 18 minutes away from me. I live in the West End.
Oh, nice.
And I made it. So
you know what's interesting is I goofed up K&G, and we're also across the street from BP. We're just initials here.
Right.
But
he told me to meet him across from LG. No, he said LG. He said, meet me at Proof across from LG.
He's a man of great detail.
what is your name?
I'm Stephanie.
And what is your role here, Stephanie?
I'm an area director with Proof the Pudding.
An area director.
That's correct.
So what does that mean?
I manage mugs amongst other things. All of Ben's details. How about that?
Oh, really? That's what I need.
A detail manager?
Because I'm kind of like him, slightly less nuts, but kind of like him, kind of all over the place. And my wife does a pretty good job, right, of sort of wrangling all that in with stuff. But as the business grows, et cetera, that's what I need.
Every man needs a strong woman.
Absolutely. Especially ones who are, I mean, I think we just established I have underwear in my pants.
Yeah.
And I've...
Not in your pants, on the top, down by your shoe.
Down by my shoe. Somehow.
That's where you usually keep the spare underwear, though.
I mean, we've toured this whole facility.
Yep.
And they haven't fallen.
And they didn't fall out. And then I didn't notice them until I'm sitting here going, oh, what is this? If it was my wallet, would it have been a fucking miracle?
That
I can't find my
wallet.
You can curse on this podcast, too, by the way. How long, point the microphone that way. How long have you been here?
On Valentine's Day, I'll celebrate 9 years with the company.
Okay. And wow. And what part of town are you in?
I live in Old Fourth Ward.
Old Fourth Ward. Have you always lived there?
I have, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Back when it was Scaryville?
Back in the late 90s when it was Scaryville.
Right.
That's correct.
And now it's happening.
Now it's the place to be.
Right.
Correct.
Do you want to stay there?
I'm not leaving. Unless I retire and move up to the mountains. How's the coffee?
It's really good.
Good. I poured you a larger mug.
I know. I'm going to start drinking this next. Excellent. Okay. All right, I think we're good.
All right.
It was nice meeting
Thanks,
you.
Steph. Nice to meet you.
Thank you for bringing us mugs.
Cheers.
So, okay. So we're back to the dating story, or yes. Did we finish it? Okay, so dating story. So match.com. I meet this gal, and one of the biggest things.
Take my underwear out now. How embarrassing is that?
That is so embarrassing.
That's so weird. It wouldn't be. Wouldn't it be super cool if my shorts did come out?
Oh my god!
It's gonna go here into the secret.
It's like a magician trick.
There we go. Just there we go. Sure. Why not?
So one of the biggest things in online dating is the pictures aren't up to current, right? They maybe 10 years ago when you're a lot thinner or prettier or sexier.
Yeah, that's
or whatever
a big deal.
It's a big deal.
So if they open the door.
Yes.
And they don't right.
Right.
Okay, I'm listening.
So. We go to one of my favorite restaurants in Virginia Highlands is Murphy's. Love Murphy's. Great desserts, great service, great wine, and they have a bar because the number one rule in online dating is you never on the first day ever leave the bar, right? You never go to a table because you always need an escape route. So, to go there, there's this.
But if it's going well, don't you then want to get a table?
No, not on the first day. It's a rule. It's a rule. That's maybe why I'm still single, by the way. Okay. There's a young lady at the bar, and there's backs to the door, and I said, wow, she's really pretty. I wonder if that's her. I don't remember her name, but it's Julie, right? It's Julie, right? And she turns around. Whoa! She looks just like her picture. I'm like, this is awesome, right? And we're sitting down, and we're at the bar, had a couple glasses of wine, had the best conversation ever. I'm saying to myself, this is going freaking amazing. I'm going to break a cardinal rule. We got a table. Right.
Okay.
So now I'm wearing a white shirt, very similar like I'm wearing right now, and she has braces on. It's not a big deal at all. No big deal.
Braces.
Braces for her teeth.
Okay.
So no big deal at all. And she's eating spaghetti.
Okay.
And the thing, her rubber band flies out of her mouth and nails me in the middle of my shirt.
Right.
How embarrassing, right?
Right.
But she handled it so well, and we're laughing, it's giggling, we're having a great time. And everything I said, Matt, she understood. She was like part of it. She was just like, oh, this is amazing. I'm like, yeah, you know, whatever. But and she's like, yeah, I totally get it. So it comes to the end of the date,
right?
Pick up the tab and pay the tab. And it comes to the magical moment. Hey, I'd love to do this again. How about you?
Right.
Right. And she said, I would love to do that again. I said, oh, that's fantastic. This has been a wonderful evening at Murphy's. Just great time.
Right.
She goes, before we go on a second date, there's something I have to tell you. And this is what I'm thinking. Okay, she's still married. She's separated. Whatever it is, she's going to prison tomorrow, whatever it might be, you know, something like that.
Right.
She goes, well, I used to be a man.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. So I took a minute to digest that.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that. So I started, oh, okay, that's cool. And that's literally what I said. But then I started thinking about it. How bad can that be? Because we had such a wonderful time.
Right.
But that was my funny story, Match.com story.
So you did or did not go on a second date?
No, we did not.
She still has man parts,
I didn't ask. I didn't ask. Very controversial.
Yes, very controversial.
Probably getting emails right now about it.
Going to get emails right now.
Yeah.
BenWittyLikesCity@proof.com.
Yep.
When did you inaugurate the BenWittyLikesCity thing, which apparently you're known for?
Apparently. So my father was entertaining BenWittyLikesCity, and he came up with the Like City for two reasons. Number one, witty, when you read it, it looks like white or wit.
Right.
So witty sounds like city, so that's how you could say our last name correctly.
Right.
But more importantly, people will remember the city part. They won't remember your name. So Dad would be playing at a hotel XYZ or nightclub XYZ, and people would call and they'd say, hey, is that city guy there? They didn't remember his name, Ben Witty, at all. So that's how it stuck. Funny story, back to when I met Sherry's parents, my ex-wife's parents, for the first time, when she told her mom she's going to marry Ben Witty, her mom said, don't you think he's a little old, thinking it was my father.
Really?
Yeah. So Dad played the piano for years, played with Billy Joel one night, and that was kind of cool. It's real popular in Chicago area.
And you also have a son named Ben?
Technically, his name is Bernard. We're all Bernards.
Okay. Not Benjamins.
Not Benjamins. And my dad was called Ben. I was called Ben. But we call Billy... His real name is Bernard William. We call him Billy.
Then
he just had two sons, and one of them now is Bernard. So we got like 19 Bernards.
Yeah, can we just cut it out with the Bernards?
Yeah, we got to get out. Bernie everywhere.
Okay. I'm now going to get to do you know how we end the podcast? Do you remember how it ended?
Yes. Tell me three people you'd like to interview.
No. That's like a question you get. Like that's like a dinner party question. No, we start with we do some other Atlanta favorites, and we start with your go-to order at the Waffle House.
Well, I'm on a keto diet right now.
Okay.
So, but before the keto,
right,
always got the Texas melt, the Texas Philly cheesesteak thing.
Right.
Texas melt, I think it's called.
Got it. What? How long are you into the keto thing?
6 weeks. Can you tell?
And then what?
And what do you mean? And
like, then what's next? Can't
just
do it
trying
forever.
To lose weight.
You can't do it forever, though.
Well, I'm telling you, I am a sugaraholic. I am a breadaholic. I am a pastaholic.
Right.
And those are and starchaholic.
Right.
It's really tough being in the restaurant business with the pastry shop right below me. Oof. It's in my life. It's impossible. I haven't done it for 6 weeks now.
Now, I, like you, also enjoy all those things.
Mm-hmm.
I was 175 to 185 my entire adult life. I had accepted this as part of who I was. I began running and 10 years ago, and I found that I could still kind of like eat whatever I want, and people would say like, boy, that's going to catch up to you one day.
Right.
And then one day it did. One day the worm turned, and I weighed 194. I'd never seen 190 in my life.
Wow.
And here I was 194, and I was like, this is not good. So I am now pretty careful. Like, I eat that dessert,
right?
But sometimes I would just even say no to that.
Wow.
Because that's what you have to take. Mm-hmm. And people don't understand. They're like, oh, we'll just have one. It's like, it doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy. Like, I'm like 180 now, and I run a fair amount, and I'm pretty happy with it. If I wanted to go, if I wanted to drop like 10 more, I could go like basically what they say, like no white stuff,
mm-hmm.
no cream in the coffee, no rice, no bread.
Yep.
And then, but I'm not willing to make that commitment. I'm happy to just go where I'm at now.
But you look great. You're 178, 180. That's incredible. I'm 310.
You're not 310.
305, but you're right.
You are not. Okay. what is your current favorite restaurant other than
Murphy's?
Yeah.
Well, my favorite restaurant, my go-to restaurant is right down the road, Miller's Union. Love it.
I don't even know where that is.
Do you know it started, he's been chef of that fancy chef award, Paul Beard Award, 3 times in a row. It is
Jane Beard Award?
Jane Beard. That's his brother, his younger brother, his younger Jewish brother, Jerry. So so you're going down this way, south, where is it? It's on Howell Mill, and you know where Northside Tavern is?
I do.
Make a left-hand turn there, it's right there at the corner.
And what's it called?
Miller's Union. Been there about 12 years.
And what's the guy's name? He's won James Beard Award.
I don't remember. Bob. His name's Bob. Chef Bob.
Chef Bob. Yeah. Sister Julie. Okay.
And his hostess name is Julie.
What rank these in importance to you? Okay. Falcons, Braves, Hawks, United.
Don't care about any of them.
Don't care about any of them.
I'd have to be the Hawks is first because they're our number one sports customer here in town. We do the Hawks training facility up in Emory. And we do the Skyhawks that is just opening up here in a couple weeks, 9 days, down at the Georgia International Convention Center Gateway Arena. So I would put Hawks as
What are the Skyhawks?
Skyhawks is the new G League that is coming to town.
Right. Would you like to go in on a G League team with me?
No, I couldn't run as fast as any of those guys.
No. Go in on a team. We're going to buy one. Maybe you and Carl can buy a G League team.
I don't think so.
No?
No.
They're expensive?
I have no idea if they're expensive. It's got to be, though, right? Anything with sports is expensive.
Yeah, but it's not NBA expensive, so get it on the ground floor.
Yeah, I don't think so. No.
So
I'm the guy that said Starbucks would never work when an opportunity to buy Starbucks.
No, you did not.
Yes, I was sitting in a hot tub with my cousin, who's in, what's that called when you buy stocks? A broker. And she said, guys, took every penny you have and put it in Starbucks. I go, who the hell's going to pay $4?
Why are you in a hot tub with your cousin, dude?
It's in my backyard in the pool at the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not in Alabama. Come on. So, and we're talking. And I said, oh, man, there's no way Starbucks is going to work.
This is a real thing.
This is a real story, right? Same thing happened when she called about Home Depot. Who the heck are you? What do you mean there's going to be one store with everything in it? That's the crazy thing. You got to go to a hardware store. You got to go to a paint store. It's never going to work. Never going to work. I started a company called Might As Well Jump, jumping house business. Sold it to a guy that said, you know, I got this vision of setting up the jumps in the warehouses because it was really a Saturday birthday business, not Monday through Sunday, excuse me. And so he set up the warehouses, started a little company called Monkey Joe's. Now they're nationwide. So I'm the guy, if I say buy, you sell. If I say sell, you buy.
You sold to the guy that made Monkey Joe's.
Yes. It's Might As Well Jump. With no stock, nothing.
First of all, Might As Well Jump, much better name.
Oh, it's great. Van Halen song. That's what it's from.
Right.
Yeah. That's how we came up with the name.
Well, I can see why you've stayed here so long.
Yeah, it's because I'm a food guy.
Because you're a horrible businessman.
I'm a good businessman. I'm a horrible decision maker on stocks.
You really did sell your thing to Monkey Joe's?
Monkey Joe's, yeah. And it was to this crazy guy.
And do you know that even now more than ever, they're having another thing, the kids thing, because now there's this whole ninja thing happening.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not too late. Why don't we get on that? Why don't we do that with me, you, and Carl? We'll buy a ninja gym place.
All right, I'm in.
Actually, you know what? No, because you're the guy that does it all wrong. I'm going to call Carl.
Call Carl. Anything like that. Anything you want to do with your money, do it with somebody else. Because I will tell you the one. I had an opportunity at school when I graduated from CIA in 82 to join the Food Network.
No, you did not.
Honest to goodness, I was one of the interview candidates. And I said, you know what? Who the hell is going to watch 24 hours
of Fuja? Didn't.
Yes, it's a true story.
No, it is not.
Oh, my God.
So they interviewed you.
Yes.
And picked you.
Nope, they didn't pick me. I was one of the interviewees.
Well, then you didn't turn them down then.
I did turn them down when I said this idea will never work.
They didn't pick you, though.
I know, but in the interview process, I said this will never work. But I could have been there.
Maybe that was a really bad... So they're interviewing you.
Yeah.
You go, guys, this is awesome. Right? Bobby Flay is in the waiting room.
No, nothing like that.
Well, probably was, though.
Right.
And you said during this interview, I don't think this is going to work. Why would you ever say that in an interview, even if you believed it?
I didn't think it was going to work. They asked me, what do you think of this idea? And I answered them correctly. I said, hey, I don't think this idea is going to... Who the hell is going to watch 24 hours of food TV a day?
Why were you interviewed, though? You just
They came down to CIA and interviewed students.
Was Bobby Flay there at the time?
Bobby Flay went to CIA 2 years after me.
2 years after you?
Yeah. He was there in 84, I think it was. I was there in 82.
Okay. So you don't know Bobby Flay?
No.
Do you know any television chefs?
Well, the closest we've come is we do the Zach Brown annual charity thing, Camp Southerground, and we've had Emeril Lagasse downstairs. He'll be back this year. Wonderful, wonderful
downstairs
man. Downstairs in this building.
Cooking.
And
cooking those, like, the big tub of meat that I saw?
Cooking the big tub of meat. And then last year we had Guy Ferrari here. So
I think it's Fieri, but okay.
Yeah, it was pretty close.
All right, you probably know what's his name then.
Which one?
The guy that runs that new Pinewood Forest thing. He was with Zach Brown forever.
Oh, Chef Gary. I think it's Chef Gary, is it?
No, not a chef. He's just, like, the guy.
Oh, I don't think so. Carl does, though. Carl's real close with him.
Okay.
Interesting fact. On my honeymoon.
Yes.
Downstairs. Not on my honeymoon. It's our 25th wedding anniversary. Excuse me. Wrong thing. We were downstairs at the bottom. We were on a rock and roll cruise boat. Have you ever done anything like that? Have you ever done it? It's the greatest thing in the world.
I went on a cruise, just like a regular cruise.
Oh. Rock and roll cruise, because everybody's a concert person on the boat. And we had Leonard Skinner. We had REO Speedwagon. We had all these huge bands. And then this young band just starting out named Zach Brown, and he was right across the hall from us, and he was at the time just having their first baby, and of course he's done pretty well since then.
So you just see these bands every night?
You see them every night. And then the cool thing, they would do their gig and then they would come down to the bar, and they're all buddies, so they would all get in the bar gig band. And so you had the guys from Skinner, Marshall Tucker, REO Speedwagon, all jamming together.
Would they do different sets every night?
Every night, yeah, except for Skinner. Skinner had a set, I think it was on Saturday night.
Okay.
Got to do it.
Okay. Complete the sentence. I take MARTA blank.
Pretty much never.
Okay. Common answer. Kroger or Publix?
Publix.
Why is that?
I don't like the self-checkout. I'm not a good scanner.
So you go to Publix where they will absolutely check you out for you.
Yeah, it's I can't figure out the scanner. Then you don't put it in your cart. The thing beeps at you. You have to show your ID, wait for someone to come over, do the 10-17-61 thing. And it's just too much work.
10-17-61.
That's my birthday for when you're buying booze, when you're buying wine or whatever you're buying.
Okay, I thought maybe that was your PIN.
No, my PIN is 2994.
For your debit card.
No, my debit card is 5266. Is this recorded?
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter. No one's going to find you and your wallet. They audio? Could find my wallet. Exactly. They could find my wallet. Exactly. All right. So the final question I do ask is, who should I have next on the Atlanta podcast?
Well, I've been giving this a lot of thought.
I hope so.
And I have thought of three individuals that are completely different.
Oh, great. You really have thought about this.
Yes, I have. Okay. Honest to goodness. So my first choice for you would be Captain Kirk Helpern. Now, Kirk is an amazing businessman, and his father started a little company called Buckhead Beef.
Okay.
And it was him and his father. His father started it, then he got into the business. They sold Buckhead Beef, and then he started Helpern's Meat and Seafood, sold that for quadrillions of dollars, and now he started a new company. He's one of the most engaging businessmen I've ever met. He's very nice. Is that the tin guy? No, he's the measuring guy. And he would be fantastic on your show.
Okay.
The next one is Mercedes Miller. Mercedes Miller is our executive director down at GICC. She's the most energetic, one of the smartest, smoothest folks I've ever known in my life, and she is the true partner when it comes to partners. And you know when you have a true partner? When you goof up and they don't throw you under the bus, she stands there and takes the fire with you.
Awesome.
Yeah, she's phenomenal. And the third is my neighbor, Ben Hill.
Okay.
And the reason why I chose Ben Hill is, first of all, we got the same name, and we're neighbors, but really, more importantly, he's we serve on the same board at our condo association. He owns a bunch of not nursing homes. What do you call it? What you drop? Daycare centers here in town, and he's
sort of the opposite of a nursing home.
Pretty much so. Yeah, I totally goofed that one up, didn't I? But there'll be a take two here, I'm sure. You'll edit that part out.
I definitely won't.
Okay, fantastic. And here we go, Mom. And so he's just entertaining, great businessman, and just a super, super guy. Those are my three.
So you're going to have to make those introductions for me.
Absolutely. It's already done. They're out in the hallway with the tins.
With the tin guy?
Yeah.
Well, I think this went great.
This was awesome. Thank you so
I
much.
I think we should do stuff, me, you, and Ben. I can be like your young, hip, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that would be awesome.
Right?
But let me ask you a few questions.
Sure.
We got it. This is the interview part.
Okay, I'm ready.
To join this club.
Okay.
This is a very special club.
Right.
You know, right now, it's just me, Dave, and Carl.
Okay.
And the membership has grown, but the members always drop out. So if you're at a concert, do you stand or sit?
Stand.
Okay. Do you mind if, then you're in. That's all you had to ask.
Did you not hear my story about getting arrested at the Paul McCartney show for standing up?
No, I know, but it's an important thing because a lot of folks today, especially around my age, when you go see older talent, everybody's sitting down.
Right.
And they get very upset.
Right.
So you're in. That's all it was.
Awesome. Yeah. I went to prison. Well, not prison. I went to jail for our friend Paul McCartney.
No, oh, that's awesome. Why?
Well, if you listen to the thing, you don't remember.
Because
no, they asked me to sit down, and I didn't. And then the policeman motioned me, and I thought, well, great, now he's going to tell me to sit down, and he didn't. He put the cuffs on me.
Holy moly.
You clearly don't remember this most exciting part of the podcast I did with and I don't think I'd ever told that story on the podcast before with Carl, so.
Paul McCartney, I love Paul. I've seen him 38 times.
Are you being serious?
Honest to God.
I can't tell if you're exaggerating.
Yeah, 38 times. And Carl's seen him, I think, 34 or 35.
That's a lot.
Yeah, we just went and saw him in Vegas. But I'll tell you, we saw somebody else in Vegas that was incredible. Robbie Williams. And he's been around for 17, 20 years or whatever.
English guy.
Incredible. Incredible entertainer. If you ever had an opportunity to see him, see him.
All right. Well, listen, this was a good talk.
Great talk.
And by the time I air this, I hope I find my wallet.
I hope so. Or your underwear.
Or my underwear. All right, good talk to you.
Thanks so much.
There we have it. That was Ben. Told you he's a bit of a nut job. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope I can get the people he mentioned coming up on the show. I'm definitely going to reach out to them. Kirk Halpern, Mercedes Miller, Ben Hill. Thanks so much for recommending those folks to me. Well, hopefully we can get them on the show. It's winter here in Atlanta, which is hoodie weather. I love me some hoodie weather. I hope you do too. I hope you're enjoying these episodes. Please continue to listen. Please tell a friend. Check us out on Instagram at ATL Podcast. And take care, ATL.